for Wednesday, November 19th, 2025, and calling this meeting to order. Tara, can you call the roll?
Yes. Chair Ferris?
Here.
Commissioner Beltran?
Here.
Commissioner Quint?
Present.
Commissioner Perez?
Here.
Commissioner Moosley?
Here.
And Commissioner Walker?
Here.
For the record, we have quorum for today's meeting. Also for the record, Civic Art Collection and Public Art Program Director Mary Chu, Eben Glenn, Deputy Director of Programs, and Ralph Remington, Director of Cultural Affairs, are all in attendance.
Great, thanks, Tara. Do we have any changes to the agenda? There are two changes. We are going to table item 3.7. Additionally, there's an edit to the dollar amount in item 8. The motion will now read, discussion and possible action to improve an increase of Light Bright Neon Studio LLC's contract from $1,630,907 to $1,758,588, an increase of $127,681, to include revised scope for fabrication, transportation, and consultation during installation of an artwork by Andrea Bowers, DBA Radical Patients Incorporated, for the San Francisco International Airport Harvey Milk Terminal 1 underpass lighting project. With that, I'd like to begin the meeting. I'd like to welcome all persons interested in this meeting to attend in person at 1 Dr. Carlton B. Goodlett Place, room 416. This meeting is being streamed on SFGov. While this technology grants us better accessibility for individuals listening to the meeting remotely, please be mindful that tech-related difficulties may occur, which could contribute to the gaps and delays as staff transitions the technology. Please know that we are doing our best, and we ask for your patience. I want to remind us of the policies and procedures for public meetings. At this meeting, we are bound to follow the structure of our agenda and adhere to the best practices set out in the Good Government Guide. At every public meeting, there is an opportunity for general public comment where members may comment on any item pertaining to this body. Public comment will be taken in person with remote access provided for those who require an ADA accommodation. Respectfully, we ask that you keep your public comment on topic. Each public comment is limited to 3 minutes. Please understand that the committee does not contribute dialogue towards public comments. Each comment will be documented for public record. The ringing and use of cell phones, pagers, and similar sound-producing electronic devices are prohibited at this meeting. The chair may order the removal from the meeting room of any persons responsible for the ringing or use of a cell phone, pager, or other similar sound-producing electronic device. Please note that there's fourth floor has a women's restroom located on the northeast side, men's on the southeast side just outside this room, and an all-gender restroom on the southwest side. In case of emergency, your nearest stair exit is the southeast corner on the fourth floor, right outside this door. There are stair exits located on each floor, each corner of the floor. It is recommended to pull the fire alarm and use stairs. Fire alarm is a variable tone and strobe lights will flash. If strobe lights and alarms go off, you must evacuate the building. Wheelchair accessible entrances are located on Van Ness Avenue and Grove Street. There are elevators and accessible restrooms located on every floor. I will now turn it over to Program Associate Tara Peterson for public comment instructions. Tara.
For members of the public who wish to comment on agenda items, you will be asked to voice your comment at the podium. It is recommended but not required to fill out a public comment card. I will start your 3 minutes when you speak using a visual timer. You will also receive a 30-second audible warning. When your time is up, I will say your time is up. Participants who wish to speak on other agenda items may listen for the next public comment opportunity. Anyone who speaks during a public comment period at today's meeting can send a summary of their comments to be included in the minutes if it is 150 words or less to tara.peterson@sfgov.org. The summary may be rejected if it exceeds the prescribed word limit or is not an accurate summary of the speaker's comments. Persons attending the meeting and those unable to attend may submit written comments regarding the subject of the meeting. Such comments will be made part of the official public record and will be brought to the attention of the committee. Written comments should be submitted to Arts Commission staff via email to tara.peterson@sfgov.org by 5 p.m. before the date of the meeting to ensure comments are shared with commissioners ahead of the meeting. Please note that names and addresses included in these submittals may become part of the public record. Submittals may be made anonymously. Written public comments submitted to SFAC staff will not be read aloud during the meeting. Communications received after 5 p.m. before the date of the meeting may be delivered to SFAC staff and will be shared with the commissioners. If you need to request a reasonable accommodation under the ADA or need to request language assistance, you must contact the program associate at least 48 hours in advance of the meeting. We will make every effort to accommodate all requests. Commissioner Ferris, please begin the meeting when you're ready.
Thank you so much, Tara. I would like to start the meeting by inviting Commissioner Perez to read our land acknowledgement statement.
Thank you. The San Francisco Arts Commission acknowledges that we are on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land, and in accordance to their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush community, and by affirming their sovereign rights as First Peoples. As a department dedicated to promoting a diverse and equitable arts and culture environment in San Francisco, we are committed to supporting the traditional and contemporary evolution of the American Indian community.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Perez. All right, I'd like to call item two, general public comment. This item is to allow members of the public to comment generally on matters within the commission's purview, as well as to suggest new agenda items for the commission's consideration. Is there any public comment on item two, general public comment?
Okay. Never mind, I just read it. Sorry, tech thing okay. I was trying to figure out.
No, that's all right.
Okay. If you'd like to make public comment, please proceed to the podium and fill out an information card. We're currently on item two. As a reminder, your time will start when you begin speaking. You will see a visual timer and receive a 30-second audible warning before your time concludes. Is there anyone who'd like to make public comment on the current agenda item? Let's give it a few more seconds. Okay.
Are they having?
So I think we can go.
Okay. They're having technical.
Yeah. Okay. There is no public comment at this time.
Okay. Thank you, Tara. Then I would like to call item three, the consent calendar. We have several discussions and possible actions. Commissioners, feel free to take a look over the consent calendar. Asking commissioners for any withdrawals or recusals. Seeing none, we will now take all consent calendar items except for item 3.7, which is tabled, and only items 3.1 through 3.6 and 3.8 to 3.11 will be voted on. Calling for commissioner discussion or questions.
Yes, I was just, I had asked, and maybe it would be good to have us talk about the first five, actually, and what those amounts go for, if Mary could.
Yeah, I think you have to sever it to talk about it.
Oh, okay, So make a motion to sever the 1 through 4?
Those through 5? Hmm? 1 through 5?
1 through 5? Yes.
Second.
Just so not, you know, it's not controversial. It would be good to explain sort of what it is.
So we have a motion to sever items 3.1 through 3.5 and a second.
Second. Beltran.
I think we already have a second. Mm-hmm. Great. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. That passes unanimously. We will sever item 3.1 to 3.5 to have a separate discussion. And we'll be putting that on the agenda after consent calendar. All right, then.
Move to approve.
Any other commissioner comments or questions? No, and then seeing none, I would like to change our motion to, and just make sure I am calling the right ones. We are going to be approving the consent calendar for 3.7 through 3.11. All those, can I get 3. A motion, 6. Please?
Didn't so we, moved.
3.6. Oh, 3.
Get rid of one.
Eyeliner was removed, right?
Thank you, 3.8. Thank you, 3.8.
Basically everything but 1 through 5 and the one that is tabled, which is the eyeliner mural. Okay. So everything else should be taken.
So 3.8 no. through 3.11. Thank you.
I think
correction. And 6.
And 6.
And 3.6.
Is there... 3.6 and 3.8.
Thank you. All right. So 3.6, yep. 3.8 through 3.11 yes. is what we are voting on for the consent calendar.
Yeah. So move, Commissioner Beltran.
Second, Commissioner Walker.
Thank you, commissioners. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes. All right. Then we will be... Now looking at our severed consent calendar items 3.1 through 3.5, I would like to open that up to commissioner discussion and questions.
Great. Maybe we could just get an assessment of
sure.
their ongoing. But
yes. And commissioners, there is a staff report that is connected to these in the explanatory docs. But essentially, these are our as-needed contracts that we use for ongoing installation for our artwork and conservation and storage as well. And so this is our these are two of the contractors we tend to use the most for this work, or we tend to use a lot for this work. And so we are bringing forward motions for these contract amounts. There's two different types of contracts, just because of the type of the work that we do. There's some that are considered public works, and there's other things that are like storage that are not considered a public work. So we have two different types of contracts, and they are for ongoing work over the next 2 years for our projects.
Thank you, Mary. So if my understanding is right, when we enter into commissions, there is usually a 10% conservation that is set aside in the budget, and that's what this would fulfill?
So it's twofold, yes. There is the art enrichment. We do set aside 10% for our ongoing conservation, but the installation does come from the actual art portion of the budget, that 70%. So a lot of our installations are coming under that part of the budget.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you for that clarification, Mary. All right. Asking for any other comments or questions from
you. We also didn't do public comment on consent.
Oh, thank you. On the first consent. Yes, thank you. All right. Not seeing any other commissioner comments or questions, I would like to call for public comment. Is there any public comment on item number 3, the consent calendar?
If you'd like to make public comment, please proceed to the podium and fill out the information card. We're currently at item 3. As a reminder, your time will start when you begin speaking. You'll see a visual timer and receive a 30-second audible warning before your time concludes. Is there anyone who'd like to make public comment on the current agenda items?
Thank you for that.
There's no public comment at this time.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then I would like to take public comment on our severed item. Is there any public comment on the severed item for the consent calendar?
If you'd like to make public comment, please proceed to the podium and fill out an information card. We're currently at item 3. As a reminder, your time will start when you begin speaking. You'll see a visual timer and receive a 30-second audible warning before your time concludes. Is there anyone who'd like to make public comment on the current agenda items? There's no public comment.
Thank you so much, Tara. All right, then we would like to make a motion for items 3.1 through 3.5.
So move, Commissioner Beltran.
Second, Commissioner Walker.
Thank you, Commissioners. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed say nay. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Commissioners. All right, we are going to call item number 4. We have a discussion and possible action for the 2026 Art on Market Street poster series to approve the 6 final designs by Adrian Arias. Please let me know if I mispronounced that. For the 2026 Art on Market Street poster series, I'd like to introduce Program Associate Paris Coates to present. Hi, Paris.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm presenting the final designs by Adrian Arias for his 2026 Art on Market Street poster series. This is the first project for the 2026 series, and as a reminder, the theme was approved at the February VAC. The theme is entitled Now and Then Living Memories, and it focuses on previously unrecorded, newly unearthed, and unconventional San Francisco histories. As a little background, Adrian is a visual artist, poet, performer, curator, activist, and cultural promoter who brings together multidisciplinary artists to engage in community projects with messages of social justice, racial equality, climate change, peace, beauty, health, and hope in the Bay Area. The intention of his project, in his words, is to honor the Mission neighborhood where memory lives in murals, panaderias, and street corners. The forever stamp concept that he utilizes in each poster honors the everyday legacies that shape the cultural identity of the Mission. Small and easy to overlook, a postage stamp holds immense symbolic weight. It carries messages and affirms worth. In this series, each forever stamp is enlarged. The frames that surround each image draw inspiration from indigenous design traditions across the Americas, symbolizing the deep-rooted connections that tie these local stories to a larger ancestral map. Through his vibrant portraiture and poetic narratives, the posters give visibility to overlooked community members whose contributions have shaped the Mission's cultural soul. First is Rooted in Motion, the living legacy of Aztec dance. Groups formed by immigrants and indigenous descendants have shared the ancestral practice of Aztec dance in festivals, protests, and celebrations such as Dia de los Muertos and Carnival. Aztec dance preserves and renews indigenous identities, and this poster design honors the dance through vibrant feathers, ceremonial attire, and rattles. Featured here is Xochitl, who has been practicing Aztec dance in the Mission for over 20 years. Next is Sweet Routes, the daily journey of the Heladero. For decades, the figure of the ice cream vendor has traced daily paths through the streets, offering more than just paletas, resilience, and the sweet memories of home. Featured here is Pedro, who has walked the streets with his colorful cart for many years. Painted on his cart are 3 ancestral deities who accompany him symbolically on his journey: Mama Cocha, the Incan goddess of water; Yaka Tec Cutely, the Mexica god of commerce and protector of travelers, and Ekchua, the Maya god of cacao. Their presence links this everyday path to sacred traditions of movement, exchange, and survival. Next is Breathing Paper, a living story of Dia de los Muertos in the Bay Area. This poster honors the arrival and flourishing of papel picado in San Francisco, an ancestral art form once practiced quietly in family and community gatherings. Its visibility and vitality grew profoundly in 1981 when Armenia Albaran Romero brought her family's rich tradition from Tlatlaya to the Mission District. Though similar cut paper practices existed locally, papel picado truly came to life through workshops, exhibitions, and hands-on teaching, especially during Dia de los Muertos. Speaking of, this is the Dia de los Muertos living tradition of memory and resistance. In 1972, Rene Yanez and Ralph Maradiaga, both artists, introduced the first public Dia de los Muertos celebration at Galleria de la Raza, and they're actually featured down here in the bottom left. What began as an intimate artistic act became a bridge between Mexico's ancestral heritage and the diverse immigrant communities of the Bay Area. Over time, contemporary altars joined the traditional ones, allowing artists to express themselves through diverse styles while persevering preserving the essential act of honoring someone, whether it's personally or collectively. Next, we have Blooming Paths, the resilient spirit of the flower women. For years, the women who sell flowers in the mission have filled the streets with color and life. Among them is Denny, known as the Lady of Flowers, featured here. Many of these women come from countries across Central and South America. Their knowledge of the flowers that they sell encompasses special uses, such as what flowers are placed on altars, which ones are used for healing, and which accompany celebration or mourning. They connect ancestral wisdom with our daily lives. And finally, we have Rolling Memory, the art and legacy of lowriders in the Bay Area. Wow. In the top stamp, you'll see the Mission Cultural Center standing proudly along with the historic mural by Carlos Lorca, Betsy Miller Coos, and Manuel Villamor. In the lower stamp, you see the iconic New Mission Theater appears as witness to decades of this cultural evolution. When police tried to suppress lowriding, the community fought back, and leading that movement was Roberto Hernandez, founder of the San Francisco Lowrider Council, whose story is now part of the mission's living history. And as you'll see, each poster had a QR code that links to its own webpage. So here's an example of what one of those websites looks like. It takes you to Adrian's website, where you set up individual pages for each poster. There is a longer description featured here in English as well as Spanish, and then links to articles, interviews, videos, and additional photographs related to that topic. Mm-hmm. And lastly, here is the schedule for the 2026 series as a reminder. So thank you. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much, Paris. And I feel like it bears repeating, because I know this comes up whenever we look at this project, what an amazing project it is. So happy that, you know, this is your first iteration and really getting to see how you're curating it and, you know, how Craig has done for years. This is such a special project and how it tells the story of San Francisco, tells the story of, like, our communities, our cultures, and this specifically also through the eyes of our artists. And it just, again, I'm getting those goosebumps when I think about some of the amazing work that SFAC can do, this collaboration with Muni and having these pieces of art on bus stops where people, thousands of people, will see it every single day and have a better understanding of our city and our culture, not just the arts culture, but the cultures that make our city so rich and unique. So thank you for doing this work. It's really exciting to see the next iteration, and congratulations on your first project with the poster series.
Thanks.
Looking forward to, you know, to more. Want to open that up also to commissioner comments and questions. Yes, please.
Commissioner Walker here. Thank you for this. Seeing Roberto and Renee, who I've known both of them for decades in the mission, and it's such an honor because it's, you know, we'll be hearing about it as it's they're displayed on Market Street. It touches so many people's lives that are in that neighborhood and all through there. So it means so much. It really does. I mean, everybody living in the city who walks by and they mention those things. So thank you for this.
Yeah,
really great.
Commissioner Beltran, Paris. Phenomenal job. Really, really great.
Thanks.
Thank you, commissioners. Yes, please.
Yeah, thank you for showing us the posters. I also love the colors. I love how it really reflects the rich culture of the Latinx community here in San Francisco. And for it to be showcased on Market Street, where a lot of the tourists come, and they might not necessarily go all the way to the mission, I think it's just really a great opportunity to showcase our diversity here in San Francisco. So thank you.
Totally. Thank you.
Thank you, commissioners. Any other commissioner comments? Any questions? Thank you, Paris. All right, then I would like to call for public comment on item 4, the 2026 Art on Market Street poster series.
If you'd like to make public comment, please proceed to the podium and fill out an information card. We're currently speaking on item 4. As a reminder, your time will start when you begin speaking. You will see a visual timer and receive a 30-second audible warning before your time concludes. Is there anyone who'd like to make public comment on the current agenda items? There's no public comment.
Thanks, Tara. I'd like to ask for a motion.
So move, Commissioner Beltran.
And a second?
Commissioner Quint, second.
Thank you, commissioners. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed say nay. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Paris. Thank you, commissioners. Calling item 5, the San Francisco Main Library temporary atrium mural. We have a discussion presentation of the as installed and completed artwork titled Atem Tuhe 2025 by Bella Isles for the San Francisco Main Library temporary atrium mural project. The temporary artwork, developed in collaboration with the Association of the Ramaytush Ohlone, is composed of high quality printed vinyl, measures approximately 500 square feet, and will not become a part of the civic art collection. I'd like to introduce project manager Craig Capora to introduce. Hi, Craig.
Hello.
Nice to see you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, commissioners. I'm presenting the completed artwork titled Atem Tuhe by Belan Isles that was created in partnership with Jonathan Cordero for the San Francisco Main Library Atrium Mural Project. As a reminder, the library provided public art with funds to commission an artwork for this project. The goals of the project included the artist would emphasize the importance of sharing of knowledge and wisdom in all forms across generations from an indigenous perspective. Artists would have a meaningful connection to and or direct experience collaborating with indigenous communities in the development and implementation of their project artwork design. And the artist would partner directly with the Association of the Ramaytush Ohlone on the development and implementation of the artwork concept and final design. Blon was approved as the project artist at the April 16th VAC meeting, and her conceptual design was then approved in July. Following that, Belan created a scale painting, which was approved as the final design at the September VAC meeting, and the painting was then photographed and turned into a digital print file. The vinyl fabricator sent us a 4x4 foot scale color proof for our approval, giving us two options of finishes. We selected the matte finish. On October 12th, the scaffolding installers arrived shortly after the library closed. And Monday morning, October 13th, the mural installation began. There were 10 total vinyl panels, taking about 8 hours to install. And you could see on the far right, this is the last panel being installed. And so here's the installed work. Atem Tuhe illustrates how knowledge and wisdom are shared across generations from a primarily indigenous perspective. Set within a natural landscape, the composition includes flora and fauna native to the region, includes California poppies, coastal live oaks, mission blue butterflies, deer, and songbirds. Altogether, the elements evoke an intimate interdependence among all beings in the natural world, including humans. In this landscape, children learn by listening, exploring, dancing, and connecting as guided by family, community, and the natural world. And then on Tuesday, October 14th, we had a little informal unveiling, and this is the artist Belan with Jonathan Cordero. I would like to acknowledge Senior Program Manager Jackie Von Treskow, who actually did all the heavy lifting, most of the heavy lifting for this project. And this is the work as installed.
Awesome. Thank you, Craig. Thank you, Jackie. This piece is so beautiful, and what an amazing space for it to be in. It's in the entry as you walk into the library. It's the walkway up to the children's room, and the story it tells is just perfect. I know that we had talked about if there's any opportunity for it to extend and or set a precedent where we can activate this wall. I think it's such a benefit to the space. It's so beautiful. Opening it up to commissioner comments and questions.
Commissioner Beltran, Craig and Jackie, just phenomenal. It looks amazing. Yeah. And can't even tell, at least from this distance, that it's a vinyl print. That was beautifully done. Who is our supplier on that?
Vivas.
Yeah. Thank you.
We're a local company.
Mm-hmm. Great job.
Thank you so much for showing us the artwork. Actually, I personally don't even know any other artwork representation of the Ohlone natives in San Francisco. So I'm so happy to see that this is going to be at the library. It's going to be more, I hope, seen by a lot of people in the public. And as we were talking about the land acknowledgement earlier today, I was saying it'll be great to have a mural right there so we can kind of reflect on the Ohlone community as we're doing the land acknowledgements. I'm so happy to see this. So thank you.
Commissioner Quinn, I just wanted to say I've been in and have seen this, and it's really stunning. I wasn't here on the commission between kind of the concept and phase two, but the brightening and the look of that sunlight in particular on the upper left is just pretty magical in that space.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Commissioner. Commissioner Musley, it's too bad it's not permanent.
Yeah, and you know, and I know that there's potentially area for discussion and collaboration with the library. If it can be extended, it does look like it should be sturdier than it's supposed to be up for. Is it a year, Craig? For
2 years.
2 years, okay. Yeah. And is that even a possibility? Has that been in conversation?
Sure. Yes.
Yes.
We are in conversation with them.
Great. All right. Any other commissioner comments, questions? Seeing none. Thank you so much, Craig. And always nice to see you. Is there any public comment on item 5, the San Francisco Main Library temporary atrium mural?
If you'd like to make public comment, please proceed to the podium and fill out an information card. We're currently on item 5. As a reminder, your time will start when you begin speaking. You will see a visual timer and receive a 30-second audible warning before your time concludes. Is there anyone who'd like to make public comment on the current agenda items? There's no public comment at this time.
Thanks, Tara. All right, then we will call item 6, the Chinatown Hymn Mark Lai Branch Library Renovation Project. We have a discussion and possible action to approve Christine Wong Yap, Bijun Liang, and Wendy Chien as finalists for the Chinatown Hymn Mark Lai Branch Library Public Art Project as recommended by the Artist Review Panel. I'd like to introduce or reintroduce Project Manager Craig Corpora to present. Great. Hi again, Craig.
Hello. Hello again. I am presenting the recommended finalists for the Chinatown Hymn Mark Lai Branch Library Art Public Art Project. The library is located on Powell Street between Washington and Jackson, 3.5 blocks northwest of Portsmouth Square, 2 blocks south of the Chinatown Health Center, and 1.5 blocks northwest of Chinatown Rose Pack Station. Just a brief history. Built in 1921 by architect G. Albert Landsberg, the library was originally named the North Beach Branch and was one of several Carnegie Libraries in San Francisco, is one of several Carnegie Libraries in San Francisco, which also include Mission Branch Library, Noe Valley, and Presidio, to name a few. The name was changed in 1958 to better represent the community it served. In 2002, the library was designated as a San Francisco landmark, and in 2011, renamed Chinatown Hymn Mark Lai Branch after the American historian who significantly advanced the study of Chinese American history. In 1991, the library was seismically retrofitted and expanded to twice its original size. Here you can see an example of the current conditions with the exposed steel truss work. And with construction slated to begin in early 2026, the renovation will transform the space into an energy efficient, safe, and resilient neighborhood library while maintaining the building's inherent charm. So the public art opportunity for this renovation will be a wall-mounted two-dimensional artwork integrated into the 5 arched niches located along the west wall of the library's historic reading room. Each niche measures approximately 9 feet 4 inches tall by 6 feet 6 inches wide, totaling approximately 300 square feet. The artwork budget for this project is $160,000. The goals of this work is to provide an uplifting and inspiring atmosphere for the library users and staff, creatively use the existing architectural features of the space, be an expression of the Chinatown neighborhood culture, history, identity, and values, and provide a community benefit, which includes providing opportunities for artists with meaningful connection to Chinatown. And just a note that there is an existing commissioned artwork in the Civic Art Collection already in the Chinatown Library, this Renee Young work titled Take Root, which was installed in 1996. It's a community-based project that collected bilingual poems about the library that are etched into these copper panels. And this is going to be reintegrated into the renovation of the library. So just the project timeline to date, the project plan was approved at the February 14th, 2024 VAC meeting. 42 pre-qualified artists were reviewed and scored in September of 2025. And bringing us to the 18 semifinalist artists who were discussed and scored by the artist review panel on Monday, this Monday. And the recommended finalists are Wendy Chen is a San Francisco-based artist who makes sculpture and site-specific installations that elevate the vernacular forms of knots to inspire awe and understanding. At the intersection of function, mathematics, and history where knots reside, she introduces aesthetics to illuminate what's most fascinating about them, the journey of the line. Wendy has created works for He Ceramics in San Francisco, Denver International Airport, SF MoMA, and the De Young Museum. Next, we have Bijun Liang, is an interactive media and installation artist from Chinatown, San Francisco. Through humor, crowdsourcing, and virtual simulations, Bijun tells the everyday to showcase voices of those often forgotten. She has exhibited her work at the Chinese Cultural Center, Yerba Buena Center for the Arts, Asian Art Museum, and various other Chinatown festivals. And finally, Christine Wong Yap is a visual artist and social practitioner who works in community engagement, drawing, printmaking, publishing, textiles, and public art. Through her hyperlocal participatory research projects, she gathers and amplifies grassroots perspectives on belonging, resilience, mental well-being. Christine has developed projects with the Chinese Cultural Center for Freedoms, the Library Foundation of Los Angeles, the Othering and Belonging Institute at UC Berkeley, and Times Square Arts, to name a few. And then our next steps, after approval here, we will try to schedule the artist orientation early in 2026. Artists will develop their proposals in the early part of the year. We'll have a two-week period of public display of the proposals, soliciting public comment from the community, and then hopefully have the artist approved in April. So, yeah. Right. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Craig. How exciting. I do have one question.
Sure.
Those niches where the art will be going, what was there historically? Were there murals there? Were they blank?
I think they were originally windows.
They were windows.
That's where
okay.
the extension okay. of the okay. library was, yeah.
And it's part of the new construction that is covering them? Have they been covered
I think
for
they're
a while?
Currently covered.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Correctly.
Commissioner, questions, comments? Seeing none. Right. Here to can't wait. Thank you. All right, then. Thank you, Craig. Calling public comment on item number 6, the Chinatown Him Mark Lai Branch Library Renovation Project.
If you'd like to make public comment, please proceed to the podium and fill out an information card. We're currently on item 6. As a reminder, your time will start when you begin speaking. You'll see a visual timer and receive a 30-second audible warning before your time concludes. Is there anyone who'd like to make public comment on the current agenda items? There's no public comment at this time.
Thanks, Tara. All right, then I'd like to ask for a motion.
So moved, Commissioner Beltran.
Second, Musley.
Thank you, commissioners. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, commissioners. Thank you, Craig. Calling item 7, we have the Mission Branch Library Project with a discussion and possible action to approve the final design and construction documentation of Nopal de la Misión, a wall integrated artwork by Juana Alicia Areza for the Mission Branch Library Public Art Project located on 24th and Bartlett Streets in the Mission District. I'd like to introduce Project Manager Ariana Davidian to present the item. Ari.
Good afternoon, commissioners. We are really celebrating libraries today. It's so great. So the Mission Branch of San Francisco's Public Library Network is located on 24th Street and Bartlett in the heart of the Mission District. The Mission Library Renovation Project aims to transform the historic 1916 Carnegie Library into an energy-efficient, safe, and resilient neighborhood library, something you've already heard today. The project includes restoring a community meeting space, returning the primary building entrance to its original location on 24th Street, and improving facilities for children and teens. The main reading room on the second floor is surrounded by high-arched windows that sit above the bookshelves to bring light into the space. Due to a previous remodeling in the 90s, the arched window in front of the main stairway was infilled to accommodate the addition of staff rooms built behind it. This infill window is aligned with the sight line as one comes up the stairs from street level. The infill window sections are framed by historic wood mullions and a clock that will remain intact through the renovation. In 2020, the art opportunity location was identified as a wall integrated glass artwork that fills the space within the window frame and mullions. This space is approximately 120 square feet. The goals of the public art project are that the artwork shall be a community asset and reflect the identity of the Mission neighborhood. The artwork shall be appropriate to the Mission Branch Library as the project site and library environment, and the artwork shall serve as a wayfinder to help users locate the main staircase of the library. The total art enrichment for this project is $200,000. Of that budget, $40,000 was allocated for administration, $20,000 for conservation, leaving $140,000 for art. $23,500 was allocated for artist selection and internal art costs. $45,000 has been reserved for reframing existing Montoya artworks, which I'll mention in a moment. And that leaves $71,500 for the artist contract, which includes design, fabrication, and transportation of a glass artwork installation. Will be provided by San Francisco Public Works. So here is Juana Alicia's 2021 approved conceptual proposal, Nopal de la Misión. And I just want to reintroduce her in case anyone doesn't know her already. Juana Alicia has been creating murals and working as a printmaker, sculptor, illustrator, and studio painter for over 30 years. Her style, akin to the genres of contemporary Latin American literary movements, can be characterized as magical and social realism, and her work addresses issues of social justice, gender equality, environmental crises, and the power of resistance and revolution. She says about this proposal, "My vision is that of a monumental Nopal or prickly pear cactus full of flowers and fruit. The powerful cactus tree has many meanings for people all over the world, but particularly for those of Mexican heritage. The Nopal is a central element in our origin story. According to legend, the gods had predicted the founding of Tenochtitlan, Mexico City, as the site where the itinerant Nahua Aztec peoples spotted an eagle holding a serpent in its beak atop a Nopal cactus. At the base of the design are the symbols for the goddess Malinalchotl from Nahuatl, from Nahuatl Malani grass and Xochitl flower, who was responsible for the apparition of the founding moment. The snake is the image of the feathered serpent, or Quetzalcoatl, the deity representing wisdom and knowledge for the Mexican people. But the significance of the plant goes beyond this story. It is a symbol of resistance under difficult conditions. A tree that blooms in the desert serves as a delicious and nutritious sustenance and regenerates easily. The style of the watercolor and the inclusion of the Nahua symbols refer to the style of the traditional books of the Aztec and Mayan people, the style of the Codex. In the mural design, I pay homage to the Optunia violacea variety of the nopal, which is a beautiful violet color. It will bring the vibrant life of the natural world to the library environment, offering its yellow flowers with red star-shaped centers to the creative, intellectual, and community-oriented space of the reading room. The organic forms will complement the Beaux-Arts architecture and provide a visual respite from the hard-edged urban environment. So the artist's original watercolor painting that she made for this proposal was also purchased and accessioned into the Civic Art Collection. It was included in the 2023 SFAC Gallery exhibition, Me Llaman Calle, The Monumental Art of Juana Alicia, and the watercolor will find its permanent home in the library's new addition, Teen Room, which is adjacent to the main reading room on the second floor. And you can see the display location in the rendering top left on the wall just above the built-in bookcase. SFAC staff are also undergoing an artwork conservation project led by Civic Art Collection project manager Grace Weiss. Three lithograph prints by renowned Bay Area artist Emmanuel Catarino Montoya were commissioned for the library in 1997 and will be restored and relocated in the building's new community room on the lower level. These artworks are entitled Egypt's Contribution to European Civilization, Quetzalcoatl, Deity of Knowledge and Culture, and Wen Chang, Chinese Deity of Literature. Grace will share more about these extraordinary artworks once installation is complete in 2026. So I'd like to take a moment to share some behind the scenes from Juana Alicia's design development phase. This candid photo pretty much sums up the process. We have representatives from SJ Amoroso Construction and their glazing sub, US Glass, Andrew Son, architect and project lead at San Francisco Public Works, and John Pellioni, architectural associate at SF Public Works, Juana Alicia, the artist, and Kimberly Jackman, founder of Jackman Glassworks, who is fabricating the artwork. So the arched window opening has shifted and morphed asymmetrically in this grand building for over a century, and so it has taken extraordinary coordination to determine accurate dimensions for the art glass panels. The general contractor provided the artist team with plywood templates that were checked and double-checked several times over to capture all the nuanced dimensions of each window section. The artist team then adjusted the artwork design to fit the field verified dimensions, reworking the composition to fit appropriately, and then returning to the site to mock up the revised design on the wall with full scale, full color prints. The amazing artist team seen here includes Tallulah Terrell, left, master printer and studio manager for Magnolia Editions, Juana Alicia, the artist in the middle, and fabricator Kimberly Jackman of Jackman Glassworks. The artist design underwent several revisions through a highly collaborative process, including physical and digital improvements to color, saturation, shadow, and fine-tuning the placement of image components within the as-built dimensions of the window sections. So on the left, you have the 2021 approved proposal design, and on the right is the final design seeking your approval today. Here is the window jamb detail articulating the various layers of handcrafted art glass, enlarged tempered glass to protect the art glass from touching any part of the window frame, and a cushioned glazing pocket, and finished with a 3/4-inch wood trim. If that's not obvious by looking at this.
And this past September, we coordinated closely with Public Works, with the team at Public Works to produce a mock-up frame to fit a 19-inch glass sample. The purpose of this mock-up was to test how the delicate artwork would fit into the window pocket with minimal risk of damage. In October, we did another mock-up test with two lighting fixture options, one of which is cooler and the other which is slightly warmer. You can see the range here on the top row. We're still deliberating between the two fixtures, but it will certainly be on the cooler side of the temperature spectrum, which you can see starting top left. And just last week, we did yet another lighting mock-up in the glass studio to test a layer of light diffusion acrylic, which I'll pass around a sample here, seen in the lower images on the slide. Our goal here was to find a balance between softening the shadow of the window frame behind the art glass while still allowing enough light to come through and illuminate the artwork. San Francisco Public Works will install and manage the artwork lighting in consultation with a lighting consultant, the artist, and SFAC. The lighting product is called Magic Cloud, a seamless grid of LED panels that will be installed by the general contractor behind the art glass in the utility room behind the window. These panels can be custom programmed to change throughout the day and modified according to seasonal sunlight patterns. For example, the light can be dimmed at night once the sun sets to mimic the light quality coming in through the other windows in the reading room. We will likely establish a simple program to minimize error and maintenance by San Francisco Public Works. Nonetheless, I think it's pretty fascinating how custom this product can get. And lastly, I have a final set of glass color chips provided by Jackman Glassworks. In this slide, I'm showing the progression of glass samples from the original 2021 proposal sample at the top left, some reworking and layering over the past couple years, which is the second from the top image, and the final sample shown in the bottom two left. On the right is Juana Alicia examining the 19 by 19 inch glass sample in process. So let me just take a moment to pass around these glass color chips. And lastly, look at the remaining timeline for the project, seeking your approval today, full commission approval on December 1st. Fabrication will begin immediately and run through the late spring 2026, when we are anticipating Public Works will install it. And supposedly the library is opening summer 2026. And happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much, Ari. This work is stunning. I'm so excited to see it installed. It's been in process for a while, but I mean, even the mock-up is stunning, and it's really exciting to see how this is going to come together and backlit. And I agree that backlighting option is really exciting, and how they can change the intensity of the light. Actually, I'm going to turn it over. I did have a question, but I have a feeling other commissioners may have some of the same questions, so opening it up to commissioner comments and questions. And last thing, thank you for bringing samples. We love to see the materials before they're made. Thank you.
Commissioner Beltran here. Thank you so much, Ari. This is just phenomenal. It's so beautiful and exciting to see it actually be able to glow, even though that window has been closed. My question has to do with, as Allison remembers, many, many years ago, and we learned from this, in 1985, we had one of our earliest lighting pieces along the Embarcadero by Vito Conti, where we did not consider how to replace some of the lights in an easy way that, you know, because they're going to essentially have a lifetime. And so how do you know how that is going to be orchestrated, if any of those panels have to be replaced or repaired?
So the difference between this project and the one that you mentioned is that the lighting scope is not
essentially part of the artwork scope, so it will be maintained by Public Works. And so we have yet to write out the maintenance plan, but I will coordinate closely with Public Works and SFPL facilities to identify, you know, regular, I don't know if that's monthly checks or things to look out for to kind of indicate that the lighting is operating irregularly, you know, who to contact at Public Works if something needs attention. So we will kind of provide, we will co-produce a maintenance plan together that will be circulated to people on the ground.
Thank you. It's not so much the maintenance, but in terms of the ease of replacement, if those panels should break, because that was, you know, the main issue with that piece in 1985.
Well, luckily, you don't need scaffolding to replace the lighting panels. They're actually, you can access them just in the room behind the main reading room. You don't have to even touch the art glass. Like, you can leave it as it is. There's no risk of damaging the artwork, you know, the art glass. If you have to replace the panels, they're going to be, you know, 8+ inches back, separate access. So glass in front, lighting in back.
Terrific. Thank you.
So so this is sort of printed like they used to print before digital, correct? It's like you had to choose each color and each color printed. Blah, blah, blah. And they do that on the glass, and then they melt it together. Is that the process?
Yeah, it's actually a combination of kind of traditional glass making and digital glass making.
Interesting.
So there's, let's see if I can describe all the layers. The bottom layer is tempered carrier glass, just clear, mm-hmm. and that's like your canvas.
Yeah.
It's not shown there, but that's just like your canvas. It's oversized, so it's larger than the hand-laid glass, mm-hmm. so it kind of protects it around the edges. Then there is an 1/8-inch additional piece of tempered glass in the middle that kind of seals the art glass and the protective glass together as one. Then you have all the custom hand-laid glass, which is essentially what you're describing, kind of pigmented yeah. and cooked glass layers. And the artist and her fabricator have worked very closely over the last 4 years to come up with a kind of vocabulary of textures and colors and qualities of, you know, different amounts of light coming through at different areas. So
it's amazing. Do we have that sample, the final sample, in our office? Because I want to see the actual sample.
It is currently in the fabrication studio.
Okay.
This is essentially the final sample. I did not feel comfortable handling it to bring it in here. It's quite heavy.
But how big is it?
It's 19 by 19.
Oh.
But it's screwed into this mock-up box, yeah. So the whole thing is quite large. But I could probably arrange an encounter.
I'm the only one.
You're not.
It would be fun to see it. I mean, obviously, I'll see it when it's up, but it's such a beautiful process, and I'm sure the artist loves doing it, too. Is this the first time? Yeah, that's what, again, I always emphasize this, that it's so wonderful that these projects, the staff works with the artists to teach them new medium and make them able to do these large scale, you know, in other medium. So this is exciting. So this is great. Thank you very much.
Commissioner
Thank
Muslim.
You, Commissioners. Yes, please.
Amazing.
Some of the answers, you answered already some questions. I'm curious, the process of this, because it looks amazing. And so you're saying each panel that's going to be, is painted?
So each of these sections is essentially layers of printed glass, clear glass, and hand-laid glass.
So it's kind of spit out onto the glass, a glaze-type situation. But when you used to do four-color printing, you'd separate it out into each.
Right, and then you put them together.
Color printing, you'd use PMS colors instead of a digital file. And so that's the way they still lay this out and then melt it together. It's really quite a process.
Yeah, it's a little hard to tell in this image, but what I've observed of the process is some of the kind of base image layer, the fabricator hand cuts the different shapes. They're painted with a special kind of glass color pigment that's cooked, and then the fabricator goes back and adds different layers, which could be other cut pieces. It could be shards mixed with pigment. It's
for texture.
It's really tactile. It's a very tactile process.
I mean, yeah, this is the combining old school and new school, and it opens up a lot of doors for indoor spaces. Because now that we have the lighting technology that makes it even and consistent, yeah, it's amazing. Looking forward to it.
Commissioner Perez, thank you so much for bringing this. I'm just so intrigued. Is there a name for this type of process? Or this is not stained glass, right? It's like beyond stained glass.
I don't know if there's an... It's really hybrid.
Yeah, okay.
But
it's kind of like a four-color process on glass. But it's not hand-painted, right? It's like a scan of a digital artwork.
It's separated into these colors, so
right.
It's not even like a screen or anything. It's
yeah,
the colors.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And glass really kind of gives us that really vibrant color. And I'm just so impressed by the Disney magic with the lighting that you can simulate the daylight outside to match the color. So thank you so much. It's so exciting to see. Can't wait to see it in person.
Commissioner,
oh, yes, please. Quint, one last question. I think this might have been in one of your slides. I'm sorry, I forget the number. But how much distance are you giving between, yeah, how much time did you estimate this would be up and building settling? Like, I'm curious how you made the mathematic decision between the space of where the glass is and where you expect the building to shift over the next few decades.
Well, that's a good question. We are designing it so that assuming that the building won't shift significantly, but we're essentially, in talking with the glazer who's going to install the artwork, we're giving it a really healthy space between what's called the, what's it called? Like the tight fit to the very edge of the window frame. There's going to be a cushion that you can change the kind of height, the thickness of it, depending on how much space we need to kind of fit the glass in. And then there's going to be a half inch kind of buffer between the protective carrier glass and where the actual art glass, the more fragile glass, starts. So, you know, we've had DPW's engineers look at this, a whole room of specialists, just to make sure that, you know, worst case scenario, if there was an earthquake and things shifted a little bit, that art glass is not going to touch anything ever, forever. That's our goal.
Perfect. Great. It's beautiful.
Please.
First of all, the more I hear about it, the more I'm reminded by how brilliant you all are in terms of the Arts Commission actually has this reputation for creating with the structure of making a new public artwork, new processes and techniques for realizing what the artist is trying to do. The first, one of the earliest examples was when Allison, I think, and Susan were on that team as well. We're doing all the artworks for SF General. And I loved that the brief was, put something on the wall that will withstand bleach and blood. and, you know, basically all of this terrible abuse as people are wheeled down the hallways. And Allison and Susan, and I don't know, Mary, if you were involved, actually came up with this new printing process to integrate the actual sort of color and prints into metal. And it's now kind of like a standard. And I'm just so proud about that. And in fact, I suggested to Susan at the time, we should make a book because you guys actually invent these new processes. And here you've done it again. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, commissioners. Thank you so much, Ari. And yes, some of the questions I did have, I knew my other fellow commissioners would be asking, is what is the process of how this is made? And I can see some of the confusion because of that hybridization. One of the things I was checking also with these pieces, some of them have more of a uniform color. Some of them have less uniform in terms of the saturation of color. I'm not sure if that is part of like the watercolor effect. If that's okay, great. If that's the case, then that works beautifully. But I do agree with Commissioner Walker. I would love to see, and even if it's at the SFAC offices, and maybe you guys give us the opportunity to come see so you don't have to lug it over to City Hall, if that's safer. But I would love to see how what you're describing actually came together. It's hard, like I'm trying to imagine from these colors how that would work, and maybe seeing the actual thing would help answer a lot of those questions. But these are beautiful, and yeah, I'm really, really excited to see how that's going to translate into the final piece. And then one other thing I did notice just offhand when looking at the proposed design to compare to the final design, there is, it looks like some of that watercolor texture is really retained, especially within the cacti and the flowers. But the background, you can noticeably see that difference. It's much more just flat color. Well, with the ombre, but still flat color, not that variation in terms of the watercolor. Mm-hmm. Is that intentional in terms of the artist? She wanted to smooth? Okay.
Yeah, that was a creative decision that the artist made when she realized that the dimensions needed to be adjusted. But you can see in the kind of bottom left narrow panel to be able to achieve that kind of smooth gradation, the background is actually going to be broken up into these kind of arabesque curves.
Oh, wow.
So those curves you see on the left are actually cut glass, and within each of those shapes, it's going to be a solid color. But as you aggregate them, you'll get that gradient effect.
Oh, wow. That's so exciting. Yeah. And yes, props to you and the staff for dreaming up amazing ways to install more public art. Thank you. Any other comments or questions from commissioners? Seeing none, thank you so much, Ari. What a beautiful piece. So excited. And thank you to Juana Alicia for doing this too. I would like to call for public comment on item 7, the Mission Branch Library Project.
If you'd like to make a public comment, please proceed to the podium and fill out an information card. We're currently at item 7. As a reminder, your time will start when you begin speaking. You'll see a visual timer and receive a 30-second audible warning before your time concludes. Is there anyone who'd like to make public comment on the current agenda item? There's no public comment at this time.
Thank you, Tara. All right, then I would like to ask for a motion.
So moved, Commissioner Beltran.
Second, Commissioner Walker.
Thank you, commissioners. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed say nay. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, commissioners. Thank you, Ari. Calling item 8, we have the San Francisco International Airport Harvey Milk Terminal 1 Underpass Lighting Project. We have a discussion and possible action to approve an increase of Light Bright Neon Studio LLC's contract from $1,630,907 to $1,758,588, an increase of $127,681 to include revised scope for fabrication, transportation, and consultation during installation of an artwork by Andrea Bowers, DBA Radical Patients, Inc., for the San Francisco International Airport Harvey Milk Terminal 1 Underpass Lighting Project. I'd like to introduce project manager Marcus Davies to present. Hi, Marcus.
Thank you. Hi, good to see everybody. Good afternoon, commissioners. I unfortunately do not have a library to present today, but I'm hoping to present something equally as exciting. And as Commissioner Ferris mentioned, I'm seeking an approval of an increase to Light Bright Neon Studios' contract for fabrication, transportation, and consultation during installation of Andrea Bowers' artwork. We've got to give them hope for the San Francisco International Airport Harvey Milk Terminal 1 Underpass Lighting Project. And just to offer a brief recap of the Terminal 1 project, SFO is currently moving through final completion of the terminal replacement project. And from the outset, the Arts Commission has worked closely with SFO's project management and design team and the airport museums to ensure a successful integration of public art throughout the entire new terminal. In early planning, the project team identified the arrivals level underpass, which is where passengers exit baggage claim to outdoor sidewalk and vehicle transportation. They identified that as the site for a large-scale lighting project. The goals of the artwork for this location were for it to act as an iconic landmark and first welcome to passengers while honoring the legacy of the terminal's namesake, Harvey Milk. Receiving conceptual design approval from the Visual Arts Committee in 2019 and design approval in 2021, Andrea Bauer's artwork, We've Got to Give Them Hope, draws aesthetic inspiration from the historic Castro Theater marquee and serves as a tribute to Harvey Milk's pursuit of equality, justice, and hope. Taking the commission as an opportunity to deeply study the life and work of Harvey Milk, Andrea's artwork for SFO cites and amplifies Milk's messages of equality and acceptance. The tone of the artwork reflects the celebratory nature of Milk's community building and reveals the ongoing relevance of his voice to current and future generations. It honors the legacy of LGBTQ activism in San Francisco through iconography of its community, scaled to create an immersive and inclusive experience. Incorporating disco balls, spotlights, and thousands of linear feet of neon, the work is punctuated by quotes from Milk's speeches writ large as banners of hope, freedom, and acceptance for everyone. In further reference to the Castro Theater, the neon will be housed in brightly painted aluminum casings containing wiring and hardware, utilizing a practical design that draws on the handcrafted ingenuity of neon's golden age in the Bay Area. Andrea's selected fabricator for the project is Lightbright Neon Studio, a small New York-based company specialized in custom neon projects. This is a number of their previous collaborations with artists here on this slide. Owned and operated by predominantly LGBTQ artisans, Lightbright is one of the preeminent neon designers and fabricators for artists in the country, including Andrea Bowers, who has a longstanding relationship with them, and has extensive experience with large-scale commercial and artistic public works. Since entering into a contract with the Arts Commission for design in November 2021, Lightbright has been an essential partner in development of the artwork, adhering to the artist's intent while ensuring feasibility through complex structural engineering and fabrication mock-ups. They've been consistently creative during the coordination of the artwork's complex electrical infrastructure and have produced detailed construction documents and shop drawings, allowing for confident production of the artwork's many components. Following commission approval of the final artwork design in May 2022, a value engineering and comparative costing exercise by the Arts Commission was initiated to mitigate unanticipated cost increases due to continued design and engineering coordination accommodating airport infrastructure, complex UL certification, that's electrical certification, and SFO permitting requirements, as well as the escalation of material and labor costs resulting from pandemic inflation and pressures from the war on, in Ukraine, where many materials used in neon production originate. And I just want to point out, the slide just shows the entire sweep of the artwork across the terminal, so you can kind of get a sense of the scale of it. Punctuating the work are 9 of these central marquees, starting in the middle at the center doors and working out from there. The outcome of this value engineering process resulted in a 23% cost reduction through minor revisions to the artwork design approved by the Visual Arts Committee in 2023, allowing Lightbright to develop a full scope and budget for the fabrication, transportation, and consultation during installation of the artwork. In November 2023, the Arts Commission approved a contract increase for Lightbright in the amount of $1,486,043, increasing their total contract amount from $144,864 for design-only services to $1,630,907 for the full production and delivery scope. At this time, the Arts Commission issued notice to commence fabrication with an anticipated completion date of October 2026. Since that time, Lightbright has worked effectively to stay ahead of schedule with frequent production updates and documentation. Lightbright reached 50% fabrication in April of 2025 and 75% in September. And these are some images of the completed artwork. In these photos, you can see the completion of the nine marquees that I mentioned, featuring quotes by Harvey Milk, in addition to many of the repeating design elements, which are being prepared as we speak, for final in-person inspection by Arts Commission staff in early 2026. As we near fabrication completion, I'm seeking a final contract increase today to address both unanticipated and strategic change orders required in the final phases of the project. These really fall into four categories that I've outlined in this slide. The first being time-sensitive requests from SFO, which include structural design revisions, AutoCAD files for the project archive, consolidated power routing for SFO's electrical contractor, and an in-person review of the installed electrical infrastructure, which we completed in October. The second category is the result of originally specified DISCO rotor units that turned the DISCO balls becoming unavailable. Unfortunately, the manufacturer went out of business. No attic stock was available. So this change order category included extensive research of an alternative rotor product by Lightbright, as well as the purchase and shipping of new rotors at higher cost, unfortunately, and then in-house modifications to make them suitable to specific application at SFO. The third category of the change orders is addressing future conservation needs, very important. This will be through the purchase of a conservation package, which includes artwork parts templates, spare glass tubing, and spare transformers, as well as all the hardware necessary for installing the piece or reinstalling the piece. And finally, the last category is providing efficiencies on the production end to reduce and offset what will be extensive night work during the installation of the artwork. And these include the pre-assembly of electrical connections for direct and easy tie-in in the field, separate packaging of all of the neon lettering that you saw on the central marquees, which would need to be removed in the field for the installation of those marquees and put back, so we'll be creating them and sending them separately. And finally, a two-day in-person installation training for the installation contractor. To this end, here's an overview of the next steps. Upon your approval of the contract increase today, I aim to certify the contract next month in preparation for a 100% fabrication inspection in January at Lightbright Shop in Kingston, New York. Following inspection approval by staff, we anticipate shipping from Kingston to Atel Fine Art Services in Oakland in spring, with a nighttime installation at SFO taking place before peak passenger travel in summer, and commission approval of the artwork as installed anticipated for August of 2026. So things are moving quickly. And this concludes my presentation, and with that, I am happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much, Marcus. Oh, it's so beautiful. How many disco balls we end up with?
I think we have 20.
20 disco balls, okay.
So you can kind of see, we got a lot of disco balls. Ask me anything about disco balls. I know more than I ever did before. You can kind of see there in this rendering, this is an early conceptual rendering, but you can see the effect of the disco balls and their dedicated spotlights, just really amplifying the overall effect and impact of the piece. It'll be exciting the minute you step out of those doors.
Right, and thank you for this very thorough report on why the costs are going up. I know as things stretch out and fabrication costs do increase, sometimes that affects the work. Well worth it. I am so excited for this piece. Talking about a showcase piece for San Francisco and welcoming people as they come in. This is another goosebump piece when you think of how we are representing San Francisco and Harvey Milk, especially in the political climate that we're in right now. It's very important, and it's
indeed.
So excited. Opening it up to other commissioners, please comments, questions.
Commissioner Mousselet, thank you.
You're welcome.
I thought you were going to drop the disco balls. Glad you didn't.
Disco balls are still here.
I was ready for a fight.
We've invested so much in those disco balls.
I'm just wondering, for example, the conservation package, why was not that thought of in advance?
It was thought of, it was discussed more in depth as the result of a full all-hands walkthrough in October, that review that I mentioned of the electrical infrastructure. We also used that as an opportunity for a breakaway meeting to talk about long-term care of the piece, really all of us. I mean, that meeting we had probably 20 attendees from the airport, Airport Museums, Arts Commission, and it gave us an opportunity to really talk in depth about conservation needs, what this package might look like and include. So I'm bringing it to you as a kind of fully formed notion here, as well as something that's priced out.
Cool. The other question is there going to be a local neon company that will be sort of a future partner in because I know one thing about neon, there's always something.
Yes. We actually have spoken with Jim Rizzo of, maybe staff can help me, what is his company's name?
Jim, I know Jim.
You've known Jim?
From across the bay.
It's on the tip of my tongue. Yeah, anyway, what is it? It's not cool neon. Anyway, Jim Rizzo is, the neon community, it turns out, as one might guess, is very small here in the, in the United States, and Lightbright and Jim have worked together in the past, and that was Lightbright's first recommendation. So we do have somebody locally who is aware of the project, could be available for consultation, repairs, replacement of parts. Again, going back to that conservation package, we will have attic stock as a result of
that. He's thinking about retiring too, so just make sure that...
Hopefully there are some apprentices on the up that would be well-trained.
I'm just saying this because this is an incredible... Like, this is going to put San Francisco, I would say any airport, on the map.
Yeah.
Even though we're already on the map for incredible artwork, this is like a...
Showstopper.
Yeah. A showstopper.
I think it will be the collection. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's going to be incredible. I just want to make sure. I know you're already thinking about it.
Yeah.
It is a very niche business these days.
It is. Yeah.
So amazing. We can't wait to. We need to throw. I hope we can throw a party.
The disco balls are there waiting for. We'll be there waiting for the party to arrive. So yes, we'll keep everyone posted, of course.
Commissioner Beltran, congratulations. I was so fortunate in 2019 to actually be on the selection panel for this.
Right.
And I was like surprised when I saw your presentation. Yeah. Like, they're still working on this? It's okay. Year 7. But understandably, because, you know, it is complicated. And it looks like it's going along phenomenally. I was very sad to hear that the provider of disco ball rotors is going out of business. And but we were able to get a substitute, as you said. Mm-hmm. And this also reminds me of the maintenance of the Joseph Kosuth piece, which, by the way, looks fantastic, because I understand that was just recently fixed now, and it's all bright and shiny and functional. And, yeah, we realized, learning from that piece, you know, how much we really need to look after the maintenance of neon to make sure that we're not losing the full effect of the piece. So great job in doing that with all 20 of those people in the room. Yeah, congratulations.
Right.
Oh, one other thing is, it's perfect in that, I guess in February or March or so, the Castro Theater is also going to be opening.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
wonderful yeah. to be able to celebrate that this in the summer can, you know, harken back to the actual now functioning, reopened Castro Theater.
I had thought about that. That was my family theater when I was a kid. And so the alignment here is very exciting.
Sorry, I have a Commissioner Muslick. Just one more thing, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is going to be publicized, I would say, a lot. Probably not every TV channel is going to be there. And what I'm curious about, you know, hopefully we could make sure that the Art Commission, you know, and what you guys have done is part of the language that's going to be, you know, the press releases and everything with the airport.
Sure.
So we're, you know, getting the right credit for all this amazing work, and get more of the public to know about what kind of, when they ask questions, here's a bright neon sign that will answer it.
Yeah, good suggestion.
Commissioner Walker here. Can we have the slide that has the map of the layout?
The plan view, sure.
There.
Yeah.
So this, I mean, this is just showing everyone how extensive this is. It goes all the way through that hole right. as you're leaving right. or coming mm-hmm. on to the plane. And, you know, our community is so really, I mean, it's such an honor of our entire community, all of the Harvey Milk Terminal and all of the art currently in it. But this one is really going to, like everybody said, really emphasize that at a time when, you know, we have the Castro Theater opening and there's, you know, there's some tension in the community about it, but this is a real way to remind everybody that there's a lot to be proud of in this, in our neighborhood, in the Castro, and in our history here. So I can't wait to see this up. And I think it's really interesting as we were hearing about the Ukraine issue yeah. affecting this, increasing the price of gas or the availability of gas, I think, mm-hmm. for the neon. It's perfect, Harvey, that it's, you know, that you're going to have this really in your honor. So, I mean, it's just an interesting conflux of everything going on.
I didn't know that about the neon until it happened. It was really, I mean, I isn't that interesting? Learned a lot in a very short period of time.
See, we don't think about how these things, you know, in other places affect us. I mean, it does emotionally and certainly personally, but this really shows the effect of everything, and it's perfect for the Harvey Terminal. So thank you for working on this, and I can't wait to see it.
More to come.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other questions?
Yes, please.
Commissioner Perez, hello, thank you.
Hi.
This is my first time seeing it, so thank you so much for bringing it to us. It looks very, very exciting. Just like a few questions. Did you say Lite-Brite is based in New York? Is it being fabricated in New York?
Correct.
Okay, and then shipped over here.
That's right. Yeah, you can actually start to see some of the crating there in these right. pictures. So Allison and I will actually be out in Kingston, New York in January doing an in-person inspection.
Is it going to come in a train?
They'll be in flatbed trucks, most likely. Wow. To be determined, we're waiting
to finalize
our conservation.
How many trucks will it take?
I'm sorry?
How many trucks will it take?
I don't know. We're waiting to finalize our transportation plan.
Right.
I'm not quite sure. I don't have the details on that yet, but that will be coming very soon.
All right. And it's going to be outside the terminal, or is it indoors?
It's outside. And
it's outside, right. Because I see like that's
a slide that may be a good point of reference here.
So it's like the drop-off location?
Exactly. You can see in this upper right. Well, no, sorry, better... The lower left shows the underpass, the arrivals level underpass, although the slide makes it look like it may even be indoors. That's not the case. Let's say you collect your baggage and you're going to meet family or a taxi. It's when you step through those doors and you're actually out at curb. That's where the artwork would be installed will be installed.
Wow. All right. Exciting. So I guess the conservation package will help with the maintenance because being outdoors and potentially people touching it and throwing things at it will help repair and protect the...
Yes, and we've kind of anticipated all of those various interventions, right, with passengers. And we actually had a mock-up, a piece that was, you can see one of these elements, these kind of bow-tie-shaped elements that will have the disco ball hanging through the middle. We actually installed one at the terminal and had it in place for about a year, maybe a little over, just to see what the interaction was, what the maintenance needs, and it performed better than expected. We didn't have any issues. But, you know, we know that, you know, there's the potential for that, and we will have replacement glass, a maintenance plan, and conservation experts at the ready. So,
all right. It's going to be long term. It's going to be there forever. So,
hopefully.
Okay, great. And last question. Will there be piped in disco music to go with the disco balls?
It will not. You would have to provide your own soundtrack.
I'll have to bring my own?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Which gives you a world of possibilities.
All right. Mm-hmm. Silent disco, yeah.
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 Thank you so much. It's so exciting.
Commissioner Quinn, I'm glad that there's this conservation package coming forward that you feel confident in so that we don't end up with, like, the same thing that we did at the Castro Theater where it said, like, Catro Theater. I forget which letter was like always missing for many, many years. Yep. So thank you for bringing this forward. Very happy to approve this. And this is so rad.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
My very unartistic and unastute. It's so rad. So cool.
Yeah.
That's Gen X.
There you go.
I use awesome a lot.
It's all right, there you go.
Descriptive words, they work. Any other commissioner comments or questions? Thank you so much,
yeah,
Marcus.
You're welcome.
And yeah, I don't know if anybody noticed. I smiled the whole way through this presentation.
Oh, good.
It's just so exciting. I am so happy for it. One last note as well. Actually, President Chuck Collins sent me a Instagram post. It was a influencer who had gone to the Harvey Milk Terminal and was like, wow, look at all this amazing art. I see some people mm-hmm. have seen it as well. And really just acknowledging one of the things that we bring up anytime, and I know sometimes it's almost like I am beating a dead horse, but it is not, because it is really like such an amazing accomplishment of our city, of SFAC, specifically the collaboration we have mm-hmm. with SFO. That airport is equivalent to modern art museums around the world. Yeah. And we have so much to be proud of. And it is our way of saying welcome to our city and goodbye from our city, and really reflects our values and our culture. And it is such a beautiful space. I was just there, went through the Afrofuturism Museum exhibit that they had, and it was just amazing. And it just makes me so proud, one, to be a part of this team and doing the work that we do, and then also to be a San Franciscan. You know, this really just is such a forward-facing way to say to the world what we do here in terms of the art we do and the culture that we represent. So thank you for doing this. Yeah. And yes, I mean, talk about a showstopper. One thing I do agree with Commissioner Mousley, if there's a way to, like, stamp our name all over it, because I did notice in that video, you know, that person was acknowledging the amazing art that was there, was acknowledging that it was SFO. They did not acknowledge or probably know it had anything to do with SFAC. So how can we let the world know that we are in collaboration to make this amazing space at our airport, let alone around our city, you know?
There will be motion. We will have plaques. We will have artist plaques that will have our logo on them, man.
And maybe just the QR codes. I know usually they link back to the artist. Is there one that can give any information about SFAC and link back maybe to SFAC, especially something at the airport that can link back to our calendar and or the map of public art in the city, something like that would be amazing. All right. Thank you so much. Any other commissioner comments or questions?
I just feel bad for Terminal 2 and 3.
They'll get their ups.
Well, every time we raise the bar, the cycle starts anew.
Right. I like that.
To that point, Commissioner mm-hmm. Beltran here, I also wanted to mention that one of our biggest advocates has been Brenda Tucker of SF Travel. So she's like put up these award-winning videos that showcase SFO as well as the other public art around the city, and she always puts our logo there. So we might want to consult with her in terms of when this launches to be able to have another highlight reel.
And what was her name, Brenda?
Brenda Tucker.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm assuming and I'm hoping along the lines of those questions that there is open conversation with SF Travel. It seems like a perfect, collaboration with what SFAC staff work that you guys are doing. So thank you.
Yeah.
All right. I think we have no more comments and questions from commissioners. So opening it up for public comment. Is there any public comment on item 8, the San Francisco International Airport Harvey Milk Terminal 1 underpass lighting project?
If you'd like to make public comment, please proceed to the podium and fill out an information card. We're currently on item 8. As a reminder, your time will start when you begin speaking. You will see a visual timer and receive a 30-second audible warning before your time concludes. Is there anyone who'd like to make public comment on the current agenda item? There's no public comment.
Thank you, Tara. Then I'd like to ask for a motion.
So move, Commissioner Beltran.
Second, Commissioner Quint.
Thank you, commissioners. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed say nay. Motion passes unanimously.
Great. Yay. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Marcus. All right. Calling item 9, the staff report. We have a discussion, and I'd like to introduce Civic Art Collection and Public Art Program Director Mary Chu to present. Hi, Mary.
Hi, commissioners. So a reminder that we have a RFP up for existing sculpture to be placed at Civic Center. This is for next year. The installation should be up between 6 months and a year period. This will be at the same time as the Shaping Legacy 5 temporary projects are installed, and so we are hoping that there's a connection between the work that we're doing with Shaping Legacy and this work, that it will, the goal of it is to provide an opportunity for telling inclusive histories, for civic memory and belonging, and to generate community dialogue. And so if you know of any existing sculptures out there of a scale that will be have a presence at Civic Center, please let us know. We're happy to reach out to the artists. The deadline for the RFP is January 12th. And that's it.
Thank you so much. You said January 12th is
yes.
Deadline. Okay. Great. And just remind us, Mary, all RFPs and RFQs are on the website.
Yes, they are on our website.
Thank you. All right. Any commissioner comments or questions? Seeing none, is there any public comment on the on item number 9, the staff report?
If you'd like to make public comment, please proceed to the podium and fill out an information card. We're currently on item 9. As a reminder, your time will start when you begin speaking. You'll see a visual timer and receive a 30-second audible warning before your time concludes. Is there anyone who'd like to make public comment on the current agenda item? There's no public comment.
Thank you, Tara. All right, then I would like to call item 10, new business and announcements. This item is to allow commissioners to introduce without discussion new agenda items for consideration, to report on recent art activities, and to make announcements in accordance with property. Do we have any new business and announcements? Yes, please, Ralph.
Commissioner Ferris, thank you so much. Just to put on the radar of the commissioners that on December 3rd, will be the Commission Streamlining Task Force meeting at 1 p.m. So you might want to come and make your voices heard about the existence of the Arts Commission. Since we all spoke so in favor of the Arts Commission, it'd be great to hear that on the record. So that will be December 3rd at 1 p.m.
And where would that take place?
That'll be here in City Hall. Do I have a room? We'll get you the room, but it will be here in City Hall. We'll send it to you. Coma has sent it or is in the process of sending it, and Mon Raj will probably send it as well.
Is there going to be, like they did with the other meeting, where you have to sign up?
I'm sorry.
Is there anything, is it going to be like that meeting I went to the other day, they have to sign up? Or?
This is separate from the merger meetings that they held. This is for the Commission Streamlining Task Force, so they're so this is talking about whether or not the Arts Commission should exist or be advisory or be governance, or you know, whether CDR goes to planning, those kinds of things. So those issues, if you have any thoughts or feelings about any of those things, then you want to come to that meeting and express yourselves.
Thank you, Director Remington. And just to clarify, so December 3rd, City Hall. And then will you post on the website when?
Yes, Coma will post all of this and we'll send out communications.
Fantastic. Thank you.
I think we all got an email, but I wanted to remind everybody that on Monday, December 1st at 5 o'clock is the SFAC holiday celebration and employee recognition celebration. And we're going to be recognizing people with anniversary milestones of 5, 10, 15, 20, and 35 years of service. Is there anyone who actually has 35 years of service right now?
It was Jill before.
Hmm? Okay. Do we know who's going to be recognized at that meeting? No? It's a mystery? It's a surprise. Okay. I'm just reminding everyone, put that on your calendar. I wasn't able to make it last year because I was out of town, but I did the year before. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any other new business or announcements? I just want to call attention to the new Cause Family that just opened at MoMA, and it's up for quite a while, November 15th through May 3rd, 2026. Great example of pop art, awesome exhibit that's going to be in MoMA, so definitely recommend. All right, any other... Nope, not seeing any other comments or discussion on new business announcements. Do we have any public comment on item 10, new business and announcements.
If you'd like to make a public comment, please proceed to the podium and fill out an information card. We're currently on item 10. As a reminder, your time will start when you begin speaking. You will see a visual timer and receive a 30-second audible warning before your time concludes. Is there anyone who'd like to make a public comment on this current agenda items? There's no public comment.
Thank you, Tara. All right. Then with that, I'd like to call item 11, adjournment. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
SF Gov TV, San Francisco Government Television.